So let me tell you what's going on. They build the wall back up. And last week, we saw that they started reading the word in public. There's just a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People got on their face before God. People committed to being obedient to what God had asked them to do. And they were blessed. And we'd like to say, and they lived happily ever after. That would, you know what, you'd kind of really like to end it on part 7, which was last week, because, man, it was victory, and they were all, they not only accomplished something, but as they recognized that they really needed to not just do something with their hands, but they needed to do something with their hearts. And it's not like their action, it's not like their hearts weren't in their action, but they just wanted to go deeper. And they just committed to the word of God and committed to God, and it was just a great thing. So, Pastor, what happened? Well, here's what happened. Nehemiah was on an assignment somewhere else for 2 years, and he comes back, and there were some things that were out of order. Somebody say out of order. And when you get things out of order, it's problematic. So, you know, why do you go to a chiropractor? Because what the chiropractor does is he comes and he aligns things, and as those things are aligned, then all of a sudden, you know, it just, there's all kinds of flow that happens. You know, at Tamara one time, she had this pain. It was a sharp pain in her elbow, and she'd had it for years. And I think it was in her elbow, it went up to her shoulder, and it was, I mean, just constant. And she went to a chiropractor, and he made one adjustment, and she hasn't had a problem since. You know what? And she was like, wow, amazed. Well, that's what Nehemiah recognizes. This thing has gotten out of order. Let me tell you about our lives, and let me just tell you, I am going to spend some time on the first point and really going into detail about this first point, because it just needs to be taught, and we really need to understand how important it is to function in the order of God and what's going on. But Nehemiah understood that. So, but in our lives, we need to have the integrity to examine our lives and get things in order constantly. So the sermon title is The Never-Ending Process of Adjusting and Correcting. Oh, that's a long sermon title, huh? But it's a good sermon title, because in our Christian walk, and listen to me, because that sermon title would kind of imply that that we get out of order and we need to make an adjustment. Does that make sense? Has anybody, I'm just asking, has anybody ever in your Christian life gotten things out of order? Okay, let's try it again. I'm looking for hands. Has anybody, no, this is important. It's important that you recognize this sermon is for you. Has anybody ever gotten things, I mean, you were doing good. Thank you for those two in the back. But you've gotten things out of order. I'm looking for hands. And you recognize, man, I need to get things back in order. Hello. But watch this. But it's not just for people who have had order and gotten out of order. Watch this. It's for many of us, and things are in order. And the Holy Spirit will bring a magnifying glass and say, okay, they're in this order, but now I want you to bring it into a higher degree of order. Yeah. See, you think, oh, but Pastor, I'm doing good. Praise God you're doing good. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean this is, and listen, if you'll be open-minded to allowing God to constantly be correcting and adjusting, then you're going to go from faith to faith to glory to glory. And people will look at your life and they'll say, wow. See, that's what people should do. People should look at you and say, wow. I said, people should look at you and say, wow. Why? Here's why. Because they see Jesus in you. And they might not even recognize. Guys, please understand. They might not even recognize, ooh, that's Jesus in them. Because why? Because they don't know. But for them to see somebody who walks in forgiveness, they can say, wow. For them to walk in somebody who is just like, they're so great. Just look at couples, for instance. You know what? You can just be so gracious to your spouse that people around you would just go, wow, man. She is in love with that guy, and that guy isn't even all that in a bag of chips. Watch this. It's supernatural. It's amazing. You know what I mean? Or vice versa. I don't understand why he, you know what, he's just so loving to her, and she don't even, you know what, hey, so what? But here's what they'll do. They'll start to, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. That they'll see your good works and they'll glorify our Father in heaven. See, it's the love of God that leads people to repentance, right? It's the love of God that leads people to repentance. And many times they can see you are in love with God and they see it through your actions to others. You know what the Bible says? You know why we're here today? Some of you don't understand why we come to church, and I need to teach you why we come to church. You know why we come to church? We come to church, the Bible says in Hebrews, we come to church to stir up love and good works. I need to stir up in you today. You know what? Love and good works. You need to love more. You need to be doing a gooder work. Amen. No, but Pastor, I'm already doing enough. Wrong answer. That's wrong answer. No. No, that's what I'm saying. Even if you're doing good, there might be an adjustment that you need to make, a never-ending process. God doesn't look at you and say, you know what, man, you're done. God looks at you and says, listen, I see Christ in you. Now, let's make some adjustments here. All right. So we're going to take some time. Yes. It's right up here. The never-ending process of adjusting and correcting. It is a long title. Took a while for the sound guys to get it, but we thank God. Sometimes, you know what? It's not the sound guy's fault. It's something going on with the computer or something. Is that not right? And so we thank God for them. Number one, write this down. This is so important. More than write this down, write this in your heart and stay with me on this whole point. Because this is so important. It needs to be taught. Walk in God's power. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that. I mean, walk in your authority. Walk in your sphere. The Bible says in the New Testament that God gave the apostles a sphere, a authority. They were over this church, or they were over this group of churches. And we see, so what Nehemiah does is he comes back and he sees things out of order, watch this, and he walks in the power of God by walking in his, understanding his authority and his position to make, to make correction. And what we do is we mince our words. We tiptoe through the tulips. We live in a world that is so easily offended. It's, you know what, how I feel about how I feel about how that makes me feel that you're making me feel when I feel that way. And listen to me, and because of that, how many know you are influenced by your surroundings? And we have, I'm talking about people who come to church, and we have become completely out of order, and here's what we do, listen to me, and then someone, a pastor, comes to bring order, and we say, watch this, we say, he's out of order to bring order. And the reason why, guys, listen to me. And the reason why we say this, listen to me, because I need to teach you guys. We need to learn. How many ready to learn tonight? We need to learn what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. You have been shown such a wrong example for so long that when you see a proper example, you say, that's out of order. So watch this. So you're living in a dysfunctional family, and it's been out of order since you were can't even remember, and you think that's normal. You think that's normal. And that happens all the time, and it's happened in the church. So I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm just going to show you from the Word of God that there are positions that are given to men and positions that you have. And you have to learn to receive that order and understand that when somebody who is over you, somebody say over you.
Over you.
Nobody's over me. No, no, no. That's what you've been taught. That's the rebellion. No, no. You have several people over you. And as you receive their authority, because you can rebel, but when you receive their authority, then you'll walk in the blessings of God. And so I'm going to teach on that end, but I'm going to teach on the other end. When you walk in your authority. Well, why wouldn't you walk in your authority? Here's why. Because it's intimidating to walk by your authority. Because so many people nowadays, you know what, are going to tell you, you have no position to tell me anything. And that has crept in the church, and that has hurt the church. Watch this. How many were in Sunday, the first service? Sunday first service, I'm just minding my own business. You know what I mean? I'm minding my own business. I'm just worshiping God with you, enjoying myself. And when I came up on the stage, I just, and I'd already shared it with you on Wednesday, but the Holy Spirit said, you need to share this, what T.D. Jake shared with you, and you need to go into detail. And I spent the next 10 minutes at least really admonishing, and we're going to look at some words, admonishing and chastising, you know what, the church. How many were here, first service? And you're like, whoa, you know what? What's Pastor got? What's going, you know, did he sleep on the wrong side of the bed or get up on the wrong side of the bed? No, nothing like that happened. Here's what happened to me Sunday. I walked in the authority that God had called me to as pastor of this church to bring correction where correction was needed. And it was specifically needed in two areas that people, and the Holy Spirit revealed this, I don't know who, but you know what, there are people here who are not doing anything. And there are other people who aren't bringing the tithe into the storehouse. And when I got up here, you know what, I heard the Holy Spirit just say, you need to correct those areas. Now, I can't force you to do anything. But I will be held responsible. When I sit before God, he's going to say, you know, Drew, thank you for telling my servants, you know what, that which they needed to hear. Whether you receive it or not, that ain't up to me. That's up to you. Amen. But at least I will be given a check mark to say, you did what I asked you to do. And that's not always comfortable doing, because it's a lot easier to tell you, hey, you know what? We got, you know, pulled pork, you know, sandwiches today after church. You know what I mean? How many of that's easy to say? So Nehemiah comes back, and remember the guy that was criticizing him, Nehemiah, saying, you guys can't do anything, even the fox, you know, fox going to run up that wall, it's going to crumble. Remember this guy? Well, he comes back, and the guy that was saying that, somebody cleared out a room in the temple and let that guy move in. Way. And he comes back and he's like, what is going on here? Here's the thing. Many times we've been given authority and we just look the other way. Here's why. Because the Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. It's all about me. I don't want you to be upset with me. I want to be liked by everyone and I want everybody to like me. And many times, because of our rebellion, we already know people aren't going to, you know what? A lot of times when you bring correction, people won't thank you. And they're not thank you, you know what I mean? Listen, a lot of times when you bring correction, here's how they thank you. They say, you know what? Thank you very much. I'm leaving the church. I don't get anything. You know, you don't feed me anymore. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't cast your pearl before swine, because they'll take what you said, that pearl, that wisdom, they'll shove it in the mud. They say, I don't care. You know what? What you're saying is unbiblical. That's one of the reasons I'm going to spend so much time on this and show you what the Bible says about this. But they'll stample it. They'll stample it, and y'all know that's a sign of genius, okay? I just like to point that out. They'll stample it, and here's what they says. After they stample it, then they're going to come and run against you. They're not just going to take that. Then they're going to come against you. And who wants that? And so what we do is we back down. See, that's what I'm talking about. You need to walk in the authority, walk in the power of God. That's really not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the power as far as what authority have you been given. And do you have the fortitude to say, I'm going to do what's right, you know what, no matter what. That's what we need to do. And that doesn't mean that we run around just with the spirit. Listen, let me tell you what this isn't. It's not a spirit of criticism. I'll criticize you and criticize you and criticize you, criticize you, and praise God, I'm just bold for God. No, you're not. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about Nehemiah comes back, he sees things out of order, and he's going to get in order. He's going to say, no, I'm the guy. I know I'm the guy. And I'm going to tell these priests who let this guy in here, I'm going to tell them, pick up his stuff and tell him to get out. And that's what he did. He says, here's what I want you to do. Get this guy's stuff and get him out of here. Because he don't belong here. He doesn't belong here. And we think, oh, that pastor, that's not Christian. No, that is Christian. That is Christian. Some of you don't even know. You know, it's like, I don't know if I should say it. Well, let's look at some. Guys, you got to follow me with this because it's not in your notes, but it's in my notes. Turn to 2 Timothy. Paul does this all the time. You believe that Paul was biblical, do you not? How many believe Paul was a righteous man? Sensitive to Holy Spirit. Mature in the things of God. Not a novice. Okay. somebody that we can emulate. Let me tell you about Paul. Paul wasn't afraid to what perfect love casts out all fear. You know, wasn't afraid to walk in the authority that God had called him to walk in. And you know what that means? That means telling people, you know what, correcting people. It means, oh, you know what it means? It means, Paul, you've got to protect the sheep. Everybody say protect the sheep. What does that mean? That means sometimes you got to point somebody out and say, hey, this guy has caused me big trouble. Yeah, but we're not supposed to say his name. Okay, then tell Paul that. How are they going to know to stay away from him if you don't say who it is? See, I told you we're going to spend some time on the first one because this is so foreign to us that we're not even sure we should be saying amen to this stuff. That's why I'm going to show it to you in the Word. Are you guys ready to see it? 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's start with start with verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Bring the cloak that I left with Sarpus and Taurus when you come. Man, he's just saying, hey, guys, bring some stuff to me when you guys get here, okay? And the books, especially the parchment. Oh, isn't this sweet? Isn't this nice? Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Who did him much harm? Y'all know his name, right? What's his name? You not only know his name, you know what he did for a living. What's he doing? He's wanting you to know this is who it is. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Ooh, that's bad, Pastor, that's bad. No, that's good, amen? How many know that sometimes with children, it's good if they get burned a little bit because it's going to save them from being burned a lot. See, let me tell you what his heart. His heart is not, his heart, remember the scripture we looked at when the apostles were like, Lord, you want to fry them? Remember this one Sunday? And God said, oh, you don't know what spirit. That's not what he's saying here. That's not what spirit he's coming from. He's coming from a spirit that says, man, if he doesn't repent and understand what's going on, I mean, how many know it's a good thing that you would learn from your sin on this earth? Why? That you would repent. Amen. I heard somebody say amen. That's his spirit. Watch this. But notice, he is taking his authority to bring correction. Why? Because he's so mad at this guy? Uh-uh. His heart for this guy is that he repent. That's why he wants him to feel his pain now. Right? But he loves the sheep. So he's going to warn you. He's going to warn these people and say, uh-uh. Guys, I want you to stay away from this guy. I want you to know what he's about and who he is. Watch this, 15. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted. What did he resist? All eyes up here. We brought him correction, but he wouldn't be corrected. See, a good shepherd will have the understanding that he needs to, or she needs to, protect the sheep. And we haven't been taught that. We've been taught that, you know what, don't ever bring correction and don't ever talk about someone and don't ever say their name in public, because that would be ungodly. And I'm submitting to you that I'm not reading from some, you know, some strange book. I'm reading, you know what, from the gospel. I'm reading from the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Verse 16, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. See how he's just walking in love? He just loves people. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. All eyes appear. He's saying, let me tell you what. This guy, he did me great harm. And let me tell you what. When I first started off, nobody was for me. But I would not back down from what I knew I was called to do. And that's what Nehemiah is doing. He ain't backing down. He's saying, nope, I'm going to stick with what God has called me to do. Guys in the back, you have this one. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 7. Look at this. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 7. And it came to Jerusalem and discovered that the evil that Elisheb had done for Tobiah, whatever, and preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. See, this was evil. Next verse. And it grieved me bitterly, therefore I threw all... Man. Therefore I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. He goes in there and says, let me tell you what, your stuff is out today, Bucky. And he throws it out. And how many of us, instead of backing him up, would say, you know what, you shouldn't do that. Bad pastor. No, 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 no. Good pastor. Amen. Good pastor. This guy, these people who did this, they have no authority. This guy who let him in is the guy who's criticizing him. You know what? So many times you have no idea what the backstory is. And you're going to make a judgment on what somebody said on the internet about, you know what, about a pastor, about a leader. And you know what? You want to listen to their garbage. And you have no business doing that. You have no idea what happened. This guy was not the guy to be in that temple. And he knew it. And thank God for the leadership. Thank God that we have this example in the Bible that we can read it. Because there's a place and a time that we have to take that authority and say, no, no, this is my authority. This is what God has called me to. And you know what? And if I don't take that authority, it's just gonna go crazy the wrong way. There are churches, there are so many churches that have gone crazy the wrong way because pastors don't have the integrity to say, this is wrong. I will not allow you to do this in this church. It ain't gonna happen. Amen. Amen. So that's what happened to Tamar and I. And we're at this church, and you know what? And this church had a long tradition of, you know what, of not understanding the pastor's authority, and you know what? And that was intimidating, and nobody taught me this in Bible school. You know what? But we got here, and we had somebody who was an elder. Listen, let me just tell you, just because you have an elder, just because you have a card that says, hey, I'm elder something, don't mean that you're an elder. Elders act like elders. I said elders act like elders. And so, you know what? This guy came in, and we had taken the flags and put them somewhere else. Please understand, people will see, Satan will see an opportunity to criticize you. that will get in to make people, and go, yes, you know what, because, you know what, look at that. Those people are not, you know, not patriotic. Let me tell you what. I'm not saying that you're not patriotic. I'm just saying I don't know anybody more patriotic in this room except maybe for Josh. I'm just saying. You know what? And I'll even give him a run for his money. Praise God. You know what I mean? Because I love my country. And with all the imperfections of this country, you know what? This country has done more to preach the gospel. This country has done more to feed the homeless. This country has done more to feed the poor. I mean, praise God for this country. Amen. Amen. But, you know what? So we put the flags were on the stage. We put them in the back. I wanted them in the back. Why? Because they looked better back there. Amen? And so one of the elders, all eyes up here. See, one of the elders, I'm not saying he was an elder, but when I came in, somebody had given him that position. Well, why come you say that? Because he wasn't acting like an elder. Elders act like elders, amen? They're mature, and it was crazy. So right before the service, you know what, he comes who do that? And the guy said, I think Pastor Drew did that. Who? You know what I mean? And he takes them and puts them back up on stage, and somehow in this, you know what, theatrical, he rips his pants. Yeah, God is funny, is he not? And he rips his pants, and when he rips his pants, then, you know, how many times sometimes, you know what, that, you know, from the, guys, understand this, whatever's in is coming out. And what was in came out. And the problem I had with that is it came out and it was 15 minutes before the service. I have a problem with it coming out anytime from an elder because we don't talk that way. And I'm not implying like he cursed, but I'm applying we don't act like that. But see, this church had a stronghold. We did act like that. And God said, Drew, guess what you get to do? You get to not only remodel this church, but you get to straighten things out here. I'm like, really, God? Because I don't get this. They never taught me this in Bible school. I thought, Bible school, you know what? You're the senior pastor. Here's why. Because, you know what? I had sat under Pastor Bradford. And Pastor Bradford had pastored for 25 years and created an atmosphere of honor in that church. And so, you know what? Because people honored Pastor Bradford, when I was the children's pastor, people honored me. And I just walked in the blessings of seed that I never sowed. Now, I did so in that I gave people honor, and so I just helped push that ball and made that stronghold bigger, like a snowball. You know what? I helped make it bigger, but I'm telling you what, I didn't start that, and it was a blessing. And so what happened? So he, you know what, said a bunch of stuff, and it was totally, and you know what, are you supposed to do? You know what I mean? You're supposed to get up there and then, you know what, try to be anointed? You know what I mean? Let's open up our Bible and praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know what? And you got all this dissension, and you got people who are, you know what, sowing seeds of discord to other people, and you got some people who are listening to them? Don't mess with people who sow seeds of discord. Tell them, hey, mm-mm. We are our brother's keeper. We can't afford that. We've got a purpose in this church. We got Pico Revere to save. Amen? We can't afford that. It's the, you know what? Refer back to the stronghold of unity. And we've got to contend for that. It's not automatic. And people don't know, and they've got to be taught, and they've got to be trained, and you got to tell them. And let me just tell you what, when they start doing it, you can just tell them, hey, bro, you know what, yeah. Come on, let's do this. Come on, you can even hold their hand. Come on, let's go to pastor's office. Yeah. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. Between this seat and my office, this guy is going to be talking. And you, I'm not saying, I'm just using an example. I know Peter doesn't do that. But listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. This guy's going to be talking. You know what he's going to say? He's going to talk about, oh, no, but I didn't really, But what does that take? Let me tell you what it takes. It takes leadership. Listen, guys, I've been the guy. Because nobody has led them to my office. And I've been the guy who said, okay, well, I can't just let this happen. Hey, can we talk? I've got some things to say. And you can say anything. And hey, maybe I'm not seeing something I need to see. But we are not doing this in front of everybody. That ain't going to happen. And so this elder, he got that kind of conversation. Where did you do it? I did it in the leadership meeting, the next leadership meeting coming up. And it came up, and you know what? He did that in front of public, in front of everybody. I really should have done it in front of the church, but I didn't. But I did it in front of the elders. And so he came on in, and you know what? And I said, here's what we're going to do today. Here's how we're going to start this meeting off. Joe, I'll call him Joe. Joe is going to repent. And let me tell you why Joe's going to repent. And Joe, correct me if any of this is wrong, because I don't want to misstate. Here's what happened. And I told him what happened. And about halfway through this, his wife, who was a elder, she starts crying. Exactly. Well, watch it. Oh, Pastor, you're so mean. You're so mean. I can't believe you're doing. And then my sister, she starts telling me to back down. Hey, just stop it. Stop it, Drew. Stop it. Pastor, what'd you do? I said, listen, like I told you at the start. And here's what I said at the start. Let me just give you the context so you will understand. I said, hey, we all do stupid things. We all get in the flesh. But what I can't allow is for elders not to act like elders anytime, but particularly 15 minutes before the service. Because it's just not going to happen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Joe to apologize, and I'm believing that he's going to apologize. And let me tell you what I'm about. I'm about moving on, because that's what I'm about. I'm not punitive. I just want to move on. But to move on is to fix this, not to just act like, see, Nehemiah can go in and just see this guy and think, and we all do this, think, well, it's really not that bad, and it's no big deal, and it's just a back room, and all the stuff that we give ourselves to not be the leaders that we're called to lead and to correct, because it's just easier just to look the other way and think, oh, it's, you know, and particularly somebody like me, because I'm an optimistic guy, you know what I mean? But Dr. Radke has taught me what you have to do is, and God has taught me, you got to get it back on the plumb line. That's what I called you here, because it's the unity that is going to bring people into the church. Not fighting over whether you have pews or chairs or flags or, you know what, this crazy, you know what, ridiculous stuff. Listen, It just ain't going to happen. Why? Because we got real big things to fight.
That's right.
You missed a good time to say amen.
Amen.
We have real big things to fight.
Amen.
So we have to focus on that. So we can't just ignore these critical things. And we want to just say, oh, it's okay. Easter Sunday. We're over in the North Sanctuary. This is another story. Easter Sunday. We're in the North Sanctuary. And you know what? And there's a guy about in the third row. And I've seen him, you know, a couple times. You know what? So he wasn't real familiar, but I knew he'd come to the church a couple times, and you know what? I think we sang one song, and then I got up and just encouraged the congregation. I said, "Hey, I'm so proud of you guys. For many of you, you know what? You could have hit the snooze button, but you didn't, and you're here at church, and I'm proud of you. And I want to let you know God's proud of you." And I was so excited. And he said, loud enough people could hear him, "It's Easter. We ought to glorify God."
Yeah.
No, not yet. And let me tell you why not yet. Because it was in response to what I said. It was corrective in nature. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't think it was." It was. I knew it in my spirit. And here's what I knew. This service right now is either going to go one way or go the other. And I put you in charge, so what you going to do? See, nobody taught me this. Well, actually, a couple of people did teach me this. But mainly the Holy Spirit taught me this. So what did you do? I said, "Hey, I hear the Holy Spirit say, tell the people." Now I'm talking to him. I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Tell the people that I'm proud of them." And so let me tell you what we're going to do. We are going to glorify God, but I am certainly going to tell the people how proud God is of them. And everybody was like, and see, the thing, I don't even know who caught it. But in the spiritual realm, if I just let that thing go, man, it's going to get so sideways on me. And Paul don't let it go. And Nehemiah doesn't let it go. And we need to thank God for leaders who don't let stuff like this go. Because our job is to protect the sheep. And if we're not taking authority, and listen, and what I told that one elder, you know what I expected that night? You know what I was believing? I was believing he'd say, "Pastor, you're right. Apologize. What have I done?" I would give him a big hug, say, hey, I've done boneheads. I've done, egads. I would have done this. I would have said, egads. I've done ways. Stupider stuff than that. Don't sweat it. Thank you. You know what I would have done? This is the truth. I would have pointed him out and said, "Let me tell you what. I'm proud of this man. Because it takes some, you know what I mean? I call him out, and he stepped up to the place and just said, 'You're right, I'm sorry.'" And listen, and it could have been that quick. It could have been a glorious, glorious time. Instead, I got his wife crying. I got my sister, you know what, chastising me. I got this whole thing. What'd you do? I just stood firm. Why? Because if God is for me, who can be against me? That's pretty bold. You got to be bold. You got to be bold. You have to understand the authority you've been given. Because if you don't, you know what, you're going to have people bringing people, and you know what, and you're going to have, you know what, you know, this guy in that office, and this guy in this office, and this guy, you know what, just hijacking the whole service. And see, it's anyway, are you learning something?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Hebrews, it's all throughout the New Testament, guys. It's all throughout the New Testament. Paul is doing this all the time. Hebrews chapter 13. Guys in the back, Hebrews chapter 13. Yeah, but Pastor, they never did that in my old church. Well, let me tell you, many times, like my old church, they never did it in my old church because everyone understood. Pastor Bradford had such a stronghold of honor that it just didn't, I mean, trust me, if it needed to happen, it would have happened and everybody knew it would have happened. And that stronghold helped that it made it just such a unified church. It was awesome. So sometimes it happens just because the stronghold of unity is in that church, and it just, it's flowing. It doesn't have to, there's not a lot of correction happens. Other times it's not happening because the pastor just doesn't understand this concept. He's just afraid. And that's, I would say, what happens in many churches. The pastor's just not acting in the authority that he's been given. And you have to act in the authority you're given. You know what? Yeah, but Pastor, if I tell my 12-year-old won't come to church. Well, does your 12-year-old, does he have a cell phone? Yeah. Who pays for his cell phone? See, that same the same parent who'll say my 12-year-old won't come to church is the same parent, and you know what? And you'll bring, listen, you'll bring home, you know what, two Big Macs to your 12-year-old, you know what, and a Coke, because he's got to have lunch after you got out of church. And he stayed home playing with his cell phone. Listen, I don't know what the correction is. I'm going to tell you. Well, when I did my dad's service, I was blessed because he had recorded some cassette tapes. Many of you got came to the service, and you got to hear my dad tell you that that most of the time that as far as me and my brother and my sisters, we were going to serve the Lord, and we not only were going to come to church, we were going to do it with a good attitude. And he said, most of the time, we'd get up, and most of the time, you know what? My kids were already to go to church. He said, sometimes I had to shake the bed. He said, and one time, I had to get some cool water. And guess who that was for? And he said, you know what? And that, I think that was Drew, you know what I mean? And I told Vegas, you should have chopped it off a little. You let it go too long. Hebrews chapter 13. Guys, did you find that yet in the back? Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 5. Now watch the context. Verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Watch this. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can a man do to me? Do you see the context? What's the context? God is never going to leave you or forsake you. You got God. That's why I said, when I confronted that guy, I said, if God is for me, who can be against me? Why am I saying this? Because look at the context of what he's about to say. He's saying, guys, you can do this. You know that God is with you. Because let me tell you what, it takes some fortitude, and it's not, listen, it's if you're doing it in a spirit of, man, that's the wrong spirit. It can be forceful, but ultimately, well, like with that one elder, my thought was, he's going to do the right thing, and this is going to be a good thing for all the other elders who see, you know, this pastor ain't rolling like the old pastor rolled. See, what were the elders were used to pulling that stuff off and you're going to have an elders meeting and a pastor ain't going to say anything? Uh-uh. No, that, nuh-uh. Because I can't afford that shenanigans to go on 15 minutes before the service. You think your attitude, you guys, we saw it last week. You were to come in and with a spirit of prophecy. You were to be so prayed up, so God up, so love up that you come in and the person comes in, doesn't know what's going on, and you're able to sit right next to them and say, hey, man, do you need to forgive your sister? And he looks and goes, oh, how'd you know I had a sister? And the Bible says that he'll know that the Spirit of God is here and he'll get on his face. That is what I was changing. And we are not going to produce that by somebody, you know what, having a hissy fit over something as ridiculous as where we put something. You know what? And I ain't going to look the other way. Why? Because God, context, because God is my helper. He's promised to never leave me or forsake me. God is on my side. Now watch this. Watch how powerful this is. Verse 7, remember those who rule over you. Now that is a scripture we ought to read in church. Because we think nobody rules over us. Well, God says he's put people over you. Yes, the policemen and praise God. Because we come up with this doctrine. Remember I told you we need to learn this, and I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. We come over there, yes, the policeman and the mayor and the president, and yes, they're over me. But not you, Pastor. You know, Vegas ain't over me. Vegas ain't over me. Well, if you're in the children's ministry, Vegas is over you. Yeah, but she's a girl. We come up with all this garbage, you know what I mean? Well, I'm older than her. Well, you know, I've been saved longer than she's been saved. Then why do you got diapers on, dude? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because let me tell you what, a spiritual, yeah, that was good, huh? Because let me tell you what, a spiritual strong man has no, why? Because he's securing himself. You know what? What is this crazy? She's a girl. She's younger than. Can you take your macho foolishness? How many know this is good? Come on, how many know this is good? I'm asking, how many know this? I'm asking. I'm looking for hands. How many know this is good? Watch this. Remember those who rule over you. Watch this. Who have spoken the word of God to you. See, it ain't taken. We're not talking about the mayor. We're not talking about the policeman. You see the context? Whose faith follow considering the outcome of the conduct. And you can look at Paul. Man, he's not just talking, telling you what to do. He's doing it. Are you seeing this? Go to verse 17. Verse 17. Obey those, do you see it again? Who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as they must give account. Let it be so with joy and not grief, for what that would be profitable for that would be unprofitable for you. See, when Nehemiah kicks that guy out, order came back. Order comes back. You're part of that group. Blessings come. Are you seeing that? Watch this. Even if the correction is for you, man, it's not a big deal. Yeah, we can't sit there and think, I'm going to tell you what. I ain't going to let anybody correct me. I've got to, you know, that's, the spirit of pride is a horrid thing. Because it is completely opposes the Spirit of God. They are completely opposing each other. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
Would it be okay if we do points 2 and 3 next week?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm just asking because I'm feeling I'm going to stay on point 1. Okay, so just another passage. Because Paul has no problem doing this. He understands it's his authority to get back on the plumb line. So he's going to say, hey, this guy is causing me trouble, and you know what? Watch this next verse, 2 Thessalonians. Do you see how it's throughout the New Testament? I said, do you see how it's throughout the New Testament? I mean, you know what? We've seen it in the Old Testament, but we see it, you know what, in 2 Timothy, we see it in Hebrews, and we're going to see it in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to get my phone out because we're going to define some words. And guys, I know what time it is. I'll just be quick in this last point or this last part, but you got to see this. Watch Hebrews, I remember, for 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Guys, go to 3 and go to 7. Let's get a running start on this. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not, what? See, we're not telling you anything. We're examples to you. Can I tell you what? If that elder had followed me when I was 6 years under Pastor Bradford, he would have saw 6 years of honoring Pastor Bradford. And I wish I could have taken all those elders and shown them that I had honored Pastor Bradford. I wasn't asking them to do anything that I hadn't done. But I just had to make the correction because it was just so out of order. And God had said, you're the one for the job. That's your sphere. That's your authority. You are the pastor. And that doesn't mean that I'm always right. It doesn't mean that don't look at me and think that I'm always going to hit 100%, 1,000%. But here's what I will tell you. You can come over to my house. Really, I don't care. You can come over to the house. You can tiptoe through the tulips. You can listen to my conversation. You know what? You can get some device to hear my conversation. And you know what? And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Because I will not ask you to do something that I'm not doing. And I understand. Perfect? Absolutely not. Sincere? Follower of Christ? Absolutely. verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we ought not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we what? Why would they command them? Here's why. Because they had authority over them. Is that right? See, we don't teach this. And the Bible says in the end days that men are going to try to find people who will tickle your ears. Don't be seduced. Don't be seduced by that. We commanded, let's see, define command.
As a verb, it means give an authoritative order. There are two more.
Give an authoritative order. Boy, see, we don't think that way nowadays.
I found this on the website.
Okay, you're good. See, an authoritative order. See, we're not used to rolling that way. It's like, Pastor, wait, you better say it nice, and you better say please, and you better say with the cherry on top, and you better have a cute little smile, or let me tell you, Now listen, here's the truth. I tell the staff, I tell all the interns, we say please, we say thank you, We need to be polite. We need to be polite to people. We honor. You know what the Bible says? Give honor to whose honor is due. You know what? I'm going to give you honor. Let me tell you why I'm going to give you honor. Because you're a follower of Christ. Because you're part of this body. You deserve honor. Amen? But we live in a world that we just, you know what, are going to get offended for everything. And you know what? And we intimidate. And we think, you know what? No, you got to say it. You got to thank me 8 times. And you got Here, let me say it. If you serve in this church, really, I mean it. Thank you. Why? Because I can't do this without you. I'm so appreciative. Tamara and I, we're so thankful. We love you guys, and we're very grateful. But if I forget to say thank you, if I don't say thank you for the next 5 years, you shouldn't be doing it because of me anyway. You know what? Your service is unto the Lord. Amen? And I should be able to direct you and to say, hey, I need this done. And there should just be a quick, you know what? I like the honor that Joshua gives me. You know what I mean? I come in and I interrupt a practice, and you know what? He says, I forget what he calls me. You know what I mean? But he salutes. He calls me captain or lieutenant or colonel. He calls me colonel. And what's he doing? He's teaching honor. He's teaching honor. Amen. So watch this. If anyone, verse 10, for even though we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Boy, we could preach that for a while, but I need to move on. Don't get on the detail, because the commandment could be for anything that is out of order. Yeah, but I'm, no. See, that's your sensitivity. That's your, no. The commandment can be for anything that's out of order. For we hear that there are some who walk among you, what? In a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Here, let me tell you what. He's making a correction for that church, what needs to be corrected. And he's commanding them to do it. Now, these who are such, we command. See it again? And exhort. We read stuff. We don't even know what we're reading. What does exhort mean?
Exhort means strongly encourage or urge someone to do something.
Strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. Verse 12. Now these who are such, we command and exhort our Lord Jesus Christ that they in quietness, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Watch this. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. You ever heard that? You ever heard that? All eyes up here. Now let me put it in context and get ready for it to explode. See, because my thought is, and I do the same thing. I quote this stuff and I don't understand the context. And when I read in the context, it goes, boom! Watch this. For do not grow weary in doing good. Keep on correcting. Because you get tired. Especially when people give you attitude. You want to just say, shine you. No, not shine you. And if anyone does not obey, oh, now, Pastor, you have lost it. See, why? Because these words are words that if I just got up here and said, let me tell you what, I'm going to command you what to do, and you better do it, and you better obey. You just go by. Pastor is crazy. Okay. See, why? Because it's, can I tell you why? Because we're so out of order. Remember I told you, you grow up in such a dysfunctional family that you don't even understand your dysfunction. You think dysfunction is normal. And what I'm saying is all these words, I'm just reading you what the Bible says. I'm just reading in real time. You know how many people would have just freaked out on Nehemiah when he started picking? I mean, what did he do? He's like, get the, this is his bed. You know, hey, this chair is out of here. That's what he's doing. He got it. He got rid of all the stuff. And they're all, he shouldn't do that. That was wrong. Get on the internet. That was wrong. Do you see what Pastor did? Oh my goodness. Right? And if anyone does not obey the word in this apostle, note that person. Note that person. Are you guys with me? Note that person, and do not keep company with him, the person who threw the stuff out. See, because that's what we'd do. We'd go next to the person who got thrown out and say, brother, that just wasn't right. Brother, that wasn't right what he did. That's what we would do. I'm saying most, that's what they do. They follow that person. That's what they do. And they have no business doing that. I said they have no business doing that. Note that person and do not keep company with him that he might be what? Okay, so here's the problem. Can I tell you the problem? The problem is there's disorder. And I'll pick on Peter because I've been used to picking on him today. And here's it. There's disorder. And Peter will never feel the disorder. He'll never know. Because he got everybody calling him. And he's a brother, haven't seen you in a while. You know, want to go to McDonald's with me? And you know what I mean? Let's just be friends and all this stuff. And what we should do is say, dude. Why? What's the purpose? Because we're mad at this guy? You saw it. You saw it in the Word. What's the purpose? Somebody said it. To be ashamed. Of what? Of this ungodly behavior. See, but we're just on the wrong side. We're just backing up the wrong side. And the whole time, then we're criticizing Nehemiah. And I'm telling you what, and as leaders, we just see it all day, and we just back off. And I'm saying, don't back off. I'm almost done. Thank you. Do not keep company with him that he might be ashamed, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Admonish him. What does admonish mean? Let's see. What does admonish mean?
Admonish means warn or reprimand someone firmly.
Warn or reprimand someone firmly. Warn or reprimand. See, here's what we think. Watch this. Watch. I got it. You guys are listening? Are you still with me? Watch this. Do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And we read this, and here's what we think that means. We think that means, oh, bro. You okay? Like, how are you feeling? You know, because I know that happened, but I just want to be a bro to you. You know what I mean? So don't, you know what I mean? That's not what he's saying. See, that's what, because can I tell you what? We filter things through our carnality of what we've been taught. Somebody's going to hear me on this. It's not what he's saying. As a brother. Now, let me tell you what. People can say what they want, but my brother can come up to me and say, dude, knock it off. Do you understand that? See, you say, how come you know that? Hermeneutics. See, we interpret a text by the words in the text. Right?
Yeah.
What did admonish mean? Admonish doesn't mean, hey, bro, you okay? Because I heard Pastor kicked you out, man. I heard he kicked you. You were in the back. You were in that closet. He kicked all your stuff out, dude. You okay? See, that's not what it means. But we interpret it by our dysfunction of not doing things the way God told us to do it. And you don't understand hermeneutically that you have to look at the words of what it said, how to do it. Y'all believe this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can't do it wrong. God's always right. Amen. And so he's saying, no. You, please understand, you are going to, first of all, you're not hanging out with that person. Here, get it from a third party. You don't believe me? Get it for a third party verification. What did Armstrong say? You know what? Block and delete. You know what? You've got to block and delete these people. Block and delete. No, that's not unchristian. Dysfunction. We're so dysfunctional, and we've had no functional model. Well, we did have a functional model. Nehemiah showed us the model. Paul showed us the model over and over and over again. Why? Because these people are bad people? No, because their behavior is going to jack them up, and it's jacking up the church. Paul says, speaking of dysfunction, he sees these people who are sexually completely out of line, and he gets on, not them, he gets on the church. You know why he gets on the church? Because he says, you guys think you're all cool cat hanging out with these people, acting like, ooh, they're so cool, they're so hip, we ain't going to say anything about their sin. And he says, I can't even believe you guys are doing this. And he says, knock it off. Stop it. You need to get in that guy's face. First of all, you need to make sure you ain't hanging out with him on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. Dude, how you feeling? You know what I mean? Second of all, you need to make sure you're not hanging out with him at McDonald's and still associating with him. Because why do these people, how in the world, and if you talk to these people, oh, yes, I praise the Lord, I'm a Christian. Why would they think anything but? Because we continue to hang out with these people. And the point is that we would stop it. I said, let me tell you, dude, knock it off. Yeah, you want to go? You want to go to lunch with me? I'll take you to lunch. You know what? You get in OSL. Let me see your commitment to Christ. Let me see you in prayer. Let me see you back in church. Let me see you, sir. You know what? Let me see a sign of repentance. You know what? Stop gossiping. Stop talking about. You know what I mean? And did you notice what the Bible said? They're busybodies. These people are so quick to tell Nehemiah how wrong he was. And we're so quick to listen to them. And we've got to recognize, this is harmful to the body of Christ. Well, do we love everyone? Everyone, absolutely. Absolutely. But to love people is to understand the authority that we've been given. I guarantee you the church never would have grown to the size it's been and the ministry that has taken forth with the kids, with the junior hires. Are you kidding me? I got a picture of 75 kids that we took to Yosemite and their lives was changed. Are you kidding me? And I'm gonna connect the dots. Why is that happening? Let me tell you why that's happening. Because a pastor who had no experience had the integrity to say, I'm not going to allow this to continue at this church. Amen. All right, praise God. How many still glad you came tonight? All right, well, here's the good news. Remember I had good news and bad news? Remember the good news, the bad news was like, we're not going to do Nehemiah no more? Well, here's the good news. I just changed the bad news to good news. We're going to do another Nehemiah. Amen. Okay. Father, we pray that these words we would receive with gladness, God. Thank you that we can show saints of God what the word says. And even though it might sound foreign because they've never heard it, or it goes crosswise to something that they thought, that we have the integrity to say, God, your word is going to have the final authority in our life. Help our church to continue to be courageous. And Father, I pray that there would be a strong hold of honor, that people would come and feel the love that we have for each other, and that there would be just this acclimation to honor not only you, God, but men and women who you put place and authority over us. Father, we pray for men like Dr. Nolte, and we thank you for his positioning. And Father, others that you have placed in positions of authority, we pray for them and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.